Turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll begin reading here at verse number 1. A thought here, a couple of verses that we want to consider. And if you're here and you can read and there's a Bible there, you grab it and you read these things for yourself. Know that this is the word of the Lord to you. In the scripture, the Lord tells us about how it is in our lives and here where we live. And he tells us also we are saved. He tells us about his working and the things that he does. And this is one of those passages that what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to focus on about where we live, where you and I are here today, okay? Men, women, boys, and girls, living in this world, living this life that we've been given by our Lord, and what he's commanded towards us, and what he tells us the truth is about us. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1, the scripture says, "Now we beseech you, brethren," the apostle writing to the church at Thessalonica there in Greece, "by the coming of our Lord Jesus," they had had some trouble understanding about the return of the Lord, "by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us." Seemingly they had received a letter that from someone, maybe it was a forgery that was sent supposedly from Paul and was not, but they had thought maybe that the Lord Jesus Christ had already come. It seems that we gather that from what is written, "as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you," verse 3, "by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." And I tell you, we're seeing that. We're seeing a falling away in our day. The apostle saw a falling away in his day. It is that way, but certainly we're seeing that. "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition," or the Antichrist, "who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God." That's what he will do. We don't know who he is. The Lord knows who he is. And this is what he will, this is how, if he's known by the saints, this is how he'll be known, is he exalts himself above all that is called God. Now, we have many in our world, and there have been many that have exalted themselves and do exalt themselves, but this one will surpass all. "Or that is worshipped, he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." More things that he will do. Verse 5. "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" So he had taught them about this and is reiterating it again here. Verse 6, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." The Spirit of God is at work. The Lord's on a timetable that none will change. And he's on a timetable. The Spirit of God is withholding, he's restraining. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." Satan's business is about, "only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Satan's work was at work even in this day, being restrained by the Spirit of God, because God's in control. God is working his purpose and his plan. Understand, Satan and the Lord are not equals. Our Lord is above all, and Satan is even his creation. Well, why did he create him? Why did he let him do what he did? You know, that's the mind and the purpose and work of God. As Brother Mark said this morning, the Lord tells us the truth, and we need to believe it and hear it. What God does, what God has done and what God says, it's not our business to say, "Hey, why'd you do that way?" That's not our business. Our business is to hear the Lord and know that he is all powerful. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." The Spirit of God will decrease and decrease his restraining in time to come. Verse 8, And then shall that wicked, the man of sin, the Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth when he comes," as it tells us in the book of Revelation, "and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." The Antichrist won't stand a chance. Okay? Verse 9. even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. That's where the Antichrist gets his power. With all power and signs and lying wonders, all kinds of deceiving things, all kinds of things that appeal to the flesh and appeal to the feelings and appeal to the thinking of man. That's what Satan's going to cater to and how this one is going to come to power. Verse 10. With all deceivableness, okay, even him, verse number 9, he's coming after the power of Satan, the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Listen, in them that perish, in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. These that perish that will be living in that day. Okay. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse number 10 and verse number 12 is our focus for this morning's message. He says the Antichrist is coming with all deceivableness, verse 10, of unrighteousness. Here's where we want to focus, in them that perish. Okay? And we'll talk about that and expound upon that here in a moment. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let's pray. Our dear Father, we come to you in prayer at this time, praying that you would help us. Lord, take me out of the way. Give me utterance and ability to speak your word as you would be pleased. Lord, help that we might rightly divide your word of truth. And Lord, that for we that are your children, we that you save, Lord, we might be edified, we might be built up and strengthened in you and what you say, what you've promised, what you're doing and what you're going to do. Lord, for those that are here and not saved, we pray, Father, that you would open their eyes, open their hearts, open their ears to their need of salvation by you. Lord, their sin, their great sin that stands against them. And Lord, they have nothing to pay, nothing to offer you. But Lord, you say, repent of those sins and trust in Christ for the salvation of souls. And Lord, we pray that you would just work in it. Help now, we pray. And Lord, help us with your word. And we thank you, Father, for this time and your promise to meet with us in the way that you have already. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here in verse number 10, we want to focus on this that says, in them that perish. In them that perish. These will perish eternally. Okay? And perish is not a word that we use. We maybe use the word perish when we talk about fruit. All right? And what happens to fruit that perishes? Well, it gets rotten, doesn't it? It goes away. It's not of use to us at all. These that are mentioned here, and them that perish, these will perish eternally. These are the opposite of what's spoken about by our Lord in John chapter 3, verse number 16. Listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These are the opposite of that. These have not looked to Christ. These have not believed in Christ. These are those that do not have eternal life. They are a group of people that will be at hand at the coming and the manifestation, the coming forth and the showing forth of the man of sin. But you know what? They're also representative of all that have perished before them. Okay, understand that. Them that perish. These that are there, these ones that will perish and that are perishing, they are going to be subject to some things that are just going to be terrible. They're just going to be, it's just going to be a terror and a terribleness unto them. But those that have perished already, those that have died without Christ and gone on to the eternity, they have perished also. And this passage is speaking about is representative of them. They are perishing eternally now. as our brother read about Lazarus and the rich man this morning, the rich man is in hell. And he's not in hell because he's rich, but he's in hell because he denies Christ. He denied Christ. He didn't receive the truth of the Lord's word and his need to be saved, and that he needed something from without himself to rescue his soul. He trusted in himself and in this world, rather than in the world. Them that perish, they're representative of all that have perished before them. They are on their way to hell as millions that are already there. Them that perish. Why does it say that they are such? It says here, because they receive not the love of the truth. Let's read it. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, speaking of Antichrist, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, okay? And where is he going to have his power? Where is he going to have his influence? With all deceivableness of unrighteousness, that's what he spews forth, that's what he does. He's deceptive, and he is nothing but unrighteousness. In them that perish, they will be the suckers that will buy into the line of the Antichrist. I know that's a hard way to say it, but that they're deceived. They're deceived because they're perishing. And why does it say, what does it say about them? In them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. That's the reason they're in the state they're in. They have not received the love of the truth. When you take a look at the word love in the Scripture, there's several different words that word love in the Greek is speaking about. It can be a word that is rendered love that just means having an affection for, I appreciate you, okay? Or maybe beyond that is maybe I would call you my friend. But see, there is another word and another group of words that speak about love, and that's where it kind of, in the English language, it's not conveyed, but it speaks about love that is love unto action. And the best way to understand that is talk about the love of our Lord. I referred to John 3:16. A verse that's known by many, but speaks of so many things. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now that's love. Who of us would give our children as a sacrifice to help and rescue another? Be honest, we would not do it. We would not do it. But our God, he gave his Son. And he purposed to give his Son in advance of sinners even sinning the first sin against him. Brother Doug, in talking with him recently and how the working of the Lord is and such, that the Lord purposed to save in eternity past, and then yet knowing that those that he would save would sin against him even in gross and terrible ways, he yet loved them unto the end. What love! It's a love that surpasses any kind of love that you and I know about. And these have not loved the truth. This word here that is being used is that greatest form of the word love. We say it love in the English language, but it's that love with action on it. Where God gave his Son. Where God purposed to do something. As it says in the Old Testament Scriptures, he wondered and marveled, if you will, that there was no intercessor for men. And you know what? So he did something about it. He did something about it. He did something about it before, and there never was one, but he did something about it before there was ever a man that would step up and say, God, we've got a problem here. We need your help. Because there was no man that understood. There was no man that sought after God. But you know what? God loved indeed. And that's the word that the word that's being used here. Love of the truth. Love, agape love, as you've heard it, and we know that Greek word to be. Love unto action. Love that changes a person. Love that brings conviction from God. Love that says, God said it, and I love it, and I want it, and I'm going to go after it. I pursue it. Love that yields repentance towards God. God, you're right, and I'm wrong in every way. Love. God, I have not loved you, but you've been merciful unto me to this moment and this day. Love. Love. Love that yields repentance towards God. Love that says, God, everything you say about me and everything you say about this whole mess that we've made of this earth, everything that you say about eternity and everything you say about my sin, everything you say about my need, everything you say about yourself and the Savior is true. And I'm wrong in every way. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this of the world worketh death. Taking God's side against ourselves. We love the truth. These perish. These are on their way to hell because they receive not the love of the truth. And so understand this, this word love here is, again, it's talking about love that leads to action. So what about the truth? Pilate wanted to know. He said to the Lord Jesus, what is truth? Jesus said, I came for the truth. And Pilate says, what is truth? It was, he hadn't been able to pin it down. He hadn't been able to know it. People have asked that through the millennia, haven't they? They wanted to know the truth. Well, how about, just in summary, how about this, the truth? You know, and I had never seen it this way. I hadn't understood it this way, but it is so, the truth. You know, the truth is what God has said. The truth is what God has said from the beginning. And these that perish, they don't love the truth. They perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth. They didn't receive it. And we'll talk about that. But the truth is what God has said. If you have your Bible, quickly, let's walk through the scriptures real quick, just here, give a summary of the truth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, what's it say? In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the truth. And it's the truth because God said it. And God said, he said things on the other 5 days of creation too, didn't he? You can read right down through there, and God said, And you know what? Everything God has said is the truth. Everything God has said is the truth. We go on down here to chapter 2 and verse number 16. As a brother pointed out, our Lord created man from the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. And then from his rib created woman. And for the relationship and the institution of marriage that God has created for the having of children and the filling of the earth. And in Genesis chapter 2, we see here the truth. And the Lord God, verse 16, Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, hear that? Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. You know what the truth is? It's what God said. And these that perish that we see there in 2 Thessalonians, and who they represent of all those that have perished and that are in hell now, they have not believed the truth of God. They've not received it. They've not received the love of the truth. God said, you sin against me and disobeying me by eating this tree, Adam, you'll surely die. And you know what happened to Adam? He died. He died. He died spiritually that day, being made innocent, and he died physically some 900 years later. But you know what? In the midst of that, in the midst of his life, the Lord visited him and brought him the truth. You know what? He received the love of the truth. And he's not in hell. But he's with our Lord because of the Lord's salvation upon him. Then we come over here to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 17. Man, Adam eats of the tree that the Lord had commanded him not to. And listen to what it says here. The truth. The truth is what God has said. Genesis 3:17, and unto Adam he said, you hear that? God said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, and out of it that wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Here the Lord said unto Adam, you've sinned against me. You've disobeyed me. And now you have a curse in the rest of your life upon this earth to bear. And you know what? The curse extends to your generations forever, until the end. That's the truth. And you know what? God said it. And then the Lord, in a nutshell, if you will, has said to Adam, you have sinned against me. And then we come to Isaiah chapter 7, and we come fast forward. And again, the truth is what we're looking for, and we see that the truth is what God has said. The love of the truth is not being received by those that perish. And we see here in Isaiah chapter 7, again, without man's input, God had determined to do something, and he brings forth the knowledge. He's peeling back the layers that show us his revelation and what he's going to do. In Isaiah 7, verse number 13, and he said, that's God speaking here to Ahaz. It says in verse number 10, moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, verse 13, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And you know what? If this is the prophet that's speaking, it's the prophet that's writing. Understand, being the prophet of God, he's speaking what the Lord has given to him. It's as good as God speaking. It's God's word. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. God has said, I'll send my son to be the Savior. That's the truth. And you know what is implied by that? If there's a need for a Savior, that means that there's a need. Sin is at hand. We've sinned against God. You've sinned against God. And there is a need. Understand, that is a great offense that men take to the doctrine and the truth of the Lord, is that he sent his son to be a Savior. Why? Why? I need no Savior. Oh, yes, you do. You need a Savior. And the very existence of Jesus Christ, and the very fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a man and gave himself on the cross of Calvary, was buried and died there, was buried and rose again. It's an affront to man because it's a statement. The loudest statement that has ever been made about it, that man is sinful and needs a Savior. God wouldn't waste his time bringing a Savior and offering his son a Savior if there was not a need. You and I are guilty. We're guilty. You are guilty before God. And so the truth is that the Lord has said, I'll send my son to be the Savior. And then we come over, fast forward to Matthew chapter 1. Again, the truth. These that perish, they've received not the love of the truth. The love of the truth that would lead them to action, that would lead them to obedience, that leads them to repentance. In Matthew chapter 1, verse number 15, the scripture says, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Here the Lord speaking to Joseph, the angel of the Lord. And again, if the messenger is sent, he's sent from the Lord, isn't he? These are the Lord's words. Verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1, and she shall bring forth a son, Joseph. Know this. It's okay for you to take Mary to wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit of God. Verse number 20. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For, or because, he shall save his people from their sins. And again, that message comes from our Lord by His messenger, by His angels. One of those responsibilities and duties of the angels is to bring the Word of God to men. God said it. It's the truth. It doesn't say might, does it? It doesn't say this is our best shot at it, so I'm sending my son. No. That which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit of God, and you're going to name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. Bottom line. I want another Savior. I want a God of my own making. I tell you what, you'll perish. You will perish, and you will burn in hell in the lake of fire forever if you don't receive the love of the truth. And so it goes on. We go on here in the scriptures, and we come to Mark chapter 1. We see here, I've used this passage a lot, but it's the truth. It's the message of the Lord Jesus. Jesus comes, and he grows up. It goes from a baby to a toddler to a boy to a young man and then to a man, and comes and begins his ministry at 30 years old or so. And when the forerunner, John the Baptist, is put in prison, Jesus comes preaching in Mark chapter 1, verse number 15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's not a suggestion. That's fact and command. It's time. The kingdom of God is coming right near you. I tell you what, there's no nearer coming of the kingdom of God when God himself comes by. Amen. You know, as is one of his churches here, Olmsted Baptist Church, you know, we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ here. We are the body of Christ and the representative of Christ to the Olmsted community. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of Christ is at hand. We show it forth. And may we show it forth well. May we be a good witness of good things in Christ. You know what? And Jesus said it. And that's the truth. That's the truth. And then we come over here to Mark chapter 2, verse number 17. And he tells about why he has come. And he tells the truth about it. The confusion of men and the doctrine of men and the religion that men have and seek to think that they can please God and justify themselves and all that. Verse 17 of Mark chapter 2. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what God has said. That's what Jesus has said. And you know what? That's the truth. You know what all we find in that? Jesus came. Jesus is calling. He's calling with his word. Just as he did in that. He says, there are those that will take and stand themselves up as being righteous before God, and they will perish. I've come to call the one that knows and believes and comes to understand that he's a sinner. That's the one I'm interested in. I'm interested in the one that knows he's sick, that knows he needs help. Because of the truth of the Word of God and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are sinners. Remember all this that's been told in the Word of God before that we saw? And we've just skipped across a few verses. But Jesus said, I've come to save sinners. I've come to call them to repentance. I've come to call them to repentance. Why? Because they need to repent. There's something that they need to repent of. They're sinners, and they have sins, and the condemnation of those sins against them. I didn't come to call the religious, because they are self-righteous. But I came to call sinners to repentance. Then we see here in this passage in 2 Thessalonians, we come back over here to this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There in the latter part of the verse, because they received not the love of the truth. See, the Lord doesn't tell sinners to do anything to offer to God. Not like Cain that brought the fruit that he raised in his garden and his field and all that. Cain thought that he had something he could trade with God. But the Lord says, be obedient. Like Abel. Abel was obedient. Abel raised those sheep and that lamb, and at God's command, he brought that lamb, and what did it do? It showed that there needed to be the shedding of blood. That's how bad sin is. There's no remission without the shedding of blood. There's no showing forth of what the sinner needs to be done, what the sinner needs done for them in fruit and vegetables and such as that. But you know what? In the death of an innocent animal, what did the animal do? What did Christ do? The blood that was shed, it was telling about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect blood, the blood of God. Indeed, that can wash away the sins of sinners. And so it says here that they received not because they are so because they received not the love of the truth. They didn't receive it. The Lord says, don't work and don't come trying to work and barter and trade with me, but receive it. It's a word that's right up there close to believe it. It's a word that's right up there close to trust it. Trust in Him. In John chapter 1, we see here, I'm not as good at English as I would like to be, but this is a verse that tells us both sides of the matter. A colon in the midst of a sentence, if I understand it correctly, is there to take two things that the latter reinforces the first or tells how it is so. Listen to this in John chapter 1, verse number 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. That's where you and I are living right here today. You need to receive the Lord. You need to believe in His name. If you don't, you will likewise perish. Let's read on. Which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You need God. You need the Lord. And we pray to the Lord that He would open hearts and open eyes and open ears to the truth of it. You are called of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him. Repent of your sins and trust in Him. These that perish that it's talking about here and that will be in that day when Antichrist shows up but are representative of all that have perished, they are in that state because they receive not the love of the truth. The love unto action of the truth of God's Word, they say, no, I don't want it. I'll not have it. As those people that were there in the day of our Lord Jesus, as the Jews brought Him to Pilate, and Pilate continued to press them about Him being their king, and they said, we'll not have Him reign over us. And the Lord told a parable along that line, too, how it was that they refused the one that is king. You need to receive the love of the truth. It's interesting that it's worded that way. Receive not the love of the truth. And then we see here that they might be saved. Isn't that what it says? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The receiving of the love of the truth is unto salvation of the soul. It will be a change. It will be unto repentance. It will be unto faith in the Lord. That they might be saved. That they would be the opposite of those that perish. That they would be rather than the second death, have the second life. Isn't that what the Lord told Nicodemus in John 3? You must be born again. We need the Lord. Sinner, you need the Lord. And the Lord has told you His truth in His Word. Saved to live. Saved to live forever. Forgiveness of sins. Listen, peace and fellowship with God. Can you face God today? I mean, really face the Lord today? You know, Brother Mark's been teaching about heaven in his Sunday school class. And I tell you what the Lord has in store for us, we who are saved, we who are His children, I tell you, bring it on. Bring it on. And you know how we can have confidence that what the Lord has promised is so and that He will do that for us? It's because we're resting in Christ. Not what I can do, not what I can hang on to, not what I can offer Him, but because of what He's done. He died for me. Did He die for you? Receive Him. Believe Him. Trust in Him. Not say, no, I want it my way. But it's the Lord's way. Peace and fellowship with God. Better than that, adoption by our Lord. We are sons, aren't we? Sons. We have received the love of the truth. All those things that we read and just hopped through the Scriptures quickly about what God said. God said, don't eat of the tree. You know what? My daddy Adam shouldn't have done it. And if I'd have been there, I shouldn't have done it either. No. Well, it was this. It was that. It was the other. No. What God said is the truth and everything else is a lie. I receive that. And then that separation that took place. You know what? Adam being cast out of the Garden of Eden and God cursing him in the ground was just and right. We had worse coming. I received that. That's the truth. About the Lord saying that He needed to send a Savior. It's not a thing about grappling and saying, no, we got to do something else. You know what? The Lord needed to send a Savior because we have no hope in and of ourselves. And that's the truth. And I receive that. I praise God for it. That we can see it, that we can know it and know that it's so. And then that Jesus really did come. And the Lord performed that and did that. The Son came and became a man. He was subject to being like unto His creation. And He's the Creator. And He did that for me. Because that's how bad off I was. And naturally, how bad off I am. But not anymore because of Christ. I love it. I love it. I'm not thankful that Adam sinned. Understand that. But I love it to know that he did sin and that the Lord stepped in spite of what Adam did and said He would do something. Of the seed of the woman, He would bring one that would bruise the head of the serpent and would defeat Satan and death, hell, and the grave. All those things, many things that could be preached about. I love it. I love the truth, don't you? Or does the truth gall you? Does the truth make you sad and say, well, I don't. You know what? We naturally don't want to submit to anybody. You know what? Loving the truth makes us and causes us to willingly submit to our God. See, Frank Sinatra sang it, I did it my way, and that's what's in us naturally. I tell you what, doing it your way or doing it the way of any other man or the way of this world, you will perish forever. And you'll be like these that we're looking at in 2 Thessalonians. Then we come to verse number 12. What's contained in verse number 11 is talking about specifically about these that perish that'll be there in the day of the revealing of the Antichrist, okay? And so there's delusion that will be sent them because they're in that state. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Okay? Receiving the love of the truth will yield and bring salvation. Rejecting the truth and rejecting, not receiving the love of the truth will leave a person right in this state. Verse number 12, listen to this. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. I'm sure your Bible, as mine says, all. There's no escape. Nobody slips through the cracks. There's no wholesale salvation where there's just herds of people saved. It's individual. Every person, every soul, every individual, it's you and your sin and Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what mom and daddy have done. Doesn't matter what grandparents have done, aunts and uncles, cousins, best friend, sisters, brothers. It's you and the Lord. You and the Lord. And you know what? Condemnation is not a wholesale kind of thing either. It's all individual. All. All. Doesn't say most. Doesn't say many. All. All. It says all. None will escape. That they all might be damned. See, condemnation is at hand because certain damnation is coming. Understand that. Condemnation is you're guilty and you're just waiting for the punishment to land on you. Sin is stacked up against the sinner, and as I like to understand it, that condemnation rests upon his head. You know, we talk to the people in the jail about it. They're dealing with the legal system. They've been accused of a thing. They're supposed to go to court. The truth's supposed to be found out. And if they know they're guilty, they know they've got a punishment coming from the judge. We're guilty. We've got a punishment coming from the judge. And that condemnation is that dread and that surety that that punishment will come. The damnation that's being talked about here is that punishment. Those that perished, they're damned to an eternity in hell in the lake of fire. None will escape. Condemnation is at hand, or if you will, coming damnation is at hand right now because certain damnation is ahead. The meeting out of the penalty of sin, which is eternal destruction. And it says here that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. There it is again. That's the distinction. They don't believe the truth. They don't want the truth. They want it their way. They want it their way like I wanted it my way before the Lord saved me. Do you want it your way? You know, in our land, in our nation, it's said often in people that you meet, well, you worship the Lord the way you want to, and I'll worship Him the way I want to. The Lord Jesus told the woman at the well at Sychar in John 4 that the only way the Lord's going to be worshipped is in spirit and in truth. Who believed not the truth. Why are they damned? They don't believe the truth. John chapter 3, turn over here quickly. And it's just a parallel. It's another way of saying the things that our Lord Jesus said here. Listen to what it says here in John 3:18. Let's read it from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The world's already condemned. He that believeth, verse number 18, on Him is not condemned right now. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of your soul, condemnation is taken away. Why? Christ has paid for the penalty, the damnation. Christ has paid for it. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, verse 18 there in the middle, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why are they damned? They don't believe the truth, it tells us there in 2 Thessalonians 2. And it says here in John chapter 3 that He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The very one that said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. He is the only life. He is the only truth. Our Lord Jesus is the only way. And those that are here in this, that don't believe, that don't receive the love of the truth, they are so because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Back in, or if you will, hold your place here, hold your place right here, and I'll read this to you out of verse 12 there in 2 Thessalonians 2, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. But there's something else that they're after. They don't want to receive the love of the truth because there's a greater and another interest. And this is the way it is with men, women, boys, and girls. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. Sinners love their sin. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. We see here in John chapter 3, it speaks of the same thing in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light, that is Jesus Christ, has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Pleasure in unrighteousness. Receive not the love of the truth. That's the recipe for a perishing person, perishing man, woman, boy, or girl. What is it? They love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They love their deeds. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light of Jesus, neither cometh to the light, don't want any part of it, don't want to receive any of it, don't want to believe any of it, think that they don't need any of it. Neither cometh to the light, why? Lest his deeds should be reproved. They love their sin. Bottom line. Why do men, women, boys, and girls go to hell? Why do men, women, boys, and girls go to hell? Well, it tells us there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, and that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Why do men, women, boys, and girls go to hell? They love their sins and not the truth of God.